Tonight I'm turning to Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 as we continue after this Lord's Sermon of the Mount. Last week we considered verse 20 to 26, and the Lord showed how this commandment, thou shalt not kill, the extent of it, showed that it goes beyond the actual matter of taking a life, as he expanded it, and that anger out of hatred, malice, and envy are also acts that are also under this law that forbids killing. So that anger out of hatred or and malice or envy amount to murder. And also insults, words that are said to insult people are also under this. They are all violations of this law that forbids murder. So anger that are out of hatred or malice and envy, and also words that are like slander, and words that are meant to insult people are also part of this too. This law that forbids murder, that shall not kill. Last week, no, Matthew chapter 5. You read the scripture to me, some more can be funny sooner or later. Now, you read this, okay, Emra, it's here, say, Ma, Obin, Joe, being company, sir, say, Ma, Obin, Kumo, he said, that shall not kill. I don't know, church, you would try and say, then, sir, Muno, a call. A fa and po said before I see time any brimo and in some way can't it be more a good movie ya I was sad and said oh uncle will be grand so yes I knew may also so be the right game. And so this reminded us that all motives, words and actions that are meant to damage the reputation and happiness of others are all equal or equivalent to physical murder. And so God will punish all who are in today's sin as if they are murderers, because the law forbids all these things under this head. And the people who say, I've been born in some way, in Jumedia, Ubibaye, Abema, Ubi, Epra, Ubi, and I say, how be Nazi, Ubi, Navy, and the Indian or also, and I say, Nigeria, so no, Nia, Tisama, Oku, Ipa, and that's why Jinipa, Crab, and finish. So, you can't, and we do for Ubi, or yes, I know, when you say we didn't, or you are Jinny. So, the Lord expanded this law so that if, people are not killed physically, and if involved in this kind of conduct, the Bible tells us it caused murder, and that we must be aware of that. So we continue tonight also, and we are going to look at from verse 27 going, and we see where we can reach. And I intend to go to 32, but I don't know if we can, but we are looking for verse 27 onwards. So this will be the part 12 of this series, Sermon on the Mount, part 12, Matthew chapter 5, 27 onwards. And we continue. So I'll read to you verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. How so you read this Christo or say, or what to say, I can't mmerɛ abɛtwe mmerɛ tete sɛ ma yɛnto awareɛ so dadatwi ma obi nto awareɛ so sɛ obi ware a ma ne yere kyia no asɛ ne kunu akyi saa na ɛseɛ sɛ mmara no sɛ awarefoɔ yɛware a ɛsɛ sɛ obi fa ne kuna na ne yere akyi na And here the Lord again touches on the law to explain it for us. And here, this law, as we see his explanation, it touches on that part which forbids all sexual immoralities. The law that forbids all sexual immoralities. And we see that his explanations will give us this understanding as we go on. And as we also saw when we started the law's explanation of the law and how the extent they ought to be taken, we see that all these explanations exposes the limitations, the Jews, the scribes who were the teachers in Israel have attached the commandments. They have merely limited the commandment to mean just for the actual act. And all the other branches of it, they've just neglected them. So the Lord will show that there are other aspects that has to be looked at when we think of the law of God, not merely the actual act. The Red Jesus Christ, so also how Emra or Kano Emra, Etia, so we got to our ears, so we got to find out that the energy. Now, some Ra in America said the same old church here. Our church and brand new. A brand new piano, or maybe who said a quote, you might break a saw, a brand of a cheap idea, a cassatia, and yet Sabia Nipano Bay, a dear American pet and one demo, and you might break a hoa. Ah, we are some brand new to a tear. Now, I'm really not church, sir, and brand new one. Ten commandments, you know, church, it will be missing Israel for a church for no more a church for Israel, no more church, and assembly. Who said, Omo de Mrano, Omo Chemi, Omo Echemu, Kakano Major, na Major Kayam, yeah, if you hear me, Bruno, Omo Fa and Kam, and who said, yeah, Fa, and your money pay new. I have opened up with me, I don't know, I'm not found out, but this is to come here himself. I'm run up for a chief, sir. And your money, if I grab me a new one, I have one new idea. I'm run up, I was I'm run up for you. I'm run up here. So he says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. So for the Jews, this law forbid only the married person. It's against infidelity in married persons. So for the Jews, that's how they took it. So that when a married person becomes loyal to his partner or a partner, then he violates this law. So I'm right with you for no certain kind. Omo find itself. So we find it in another year. That's I'm right with itiano. And actually, and it is true, this law, that's part of this law, was infidelity in marriage is indeed hateful to God. And this law forbids infidelity in marriage. Because infidelity is a betrayal of the love of a wife or a husband. So the Lord hates his loyalty. And much worse, infidelity is the breaking of a marital vow, for which God was a witness. Because when people marry and they said the oath, the marital oath, God is a witness to that. You know, every oath, God is a witness. Whether they said between two people, wherever, it's a promise. And God is a witness to that. So, adultery is a breaking of that marital vow. It's a betrayal also, the love of a wife or husband to the partner. So, it's a serious matter which God hates. And so it's part of this law. But as I said, the Jews often look at this part of the law alone, that this thou shalt not commit adultery only has to do with infidelity. A married person who goes beyond his or her partner to have other relations. Said the maker, no, Emrawe, no, Jew for no fano, and whom he said, a general, a good etia, said the beer, or a four, refa, or ban, as a nephew, a gene, a cofa, or the hoof floor. And I make us the prayer, a kahoon there, if we said, Samra will etia, sir, a sumo, ah, Yankupon, MP. If we say, Oba, Awari, and answer them, or refund here, and answer the Kunachia. I did answer with Dean Shaman, and answer a girl or woman here, and the Kunum, where Dean Crea, Master, I don't know, or funny. Now, there a year serious crime is said, Emra, our refuge of our renal, also Moka, I'm promise, I'm sure Mubo. Now, there a phobia and professional, Yankupon. And then for. So, we are any family in Ukraine, a question will be a share of a coupon, a funnel, or a dancing cinema, sir, a bar on the shed. And he said, I want to for a shabo, therefore, a busa, a bonus, just in a coupon, and so a busa, and a bonus shed, and even a mobus. Infidelity was one among the sins for which the Lord rejected the offerings of the poor of Judah in the time of Prophet Malachi. Prophet Malachi Amreno. Money will be nice by follow a year or the brow or the brow with the Pomuchi. Now, so we find the rich in the Akasa. Let me read to you Malachi chapter 2. You see that God said that he will not accept their offering because of this sin. Now, God said, oh, in Jehovah for a boy, he said, that money will be a woman. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11 to 16. Verse 11, Malachi chapter 2. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and had married the daughter of a strange God. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, so much that he regarded not the offering anymore, or received it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet has he the residue of the Spirit? Wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take it to your spirit, and let not deal treacherously against the wife of the seed. So that's the warning here, that some of the Jews have left their wives, the men have left their wives, and have gone for other women, and yet they offer offering to the Lord. The Lord said, no, the Lord said, no, you have that treachery, that is infidelity there. They've broken the marital vows, and that they've gone beyond their wife. So, it's one of the sins which the Lord hates very much, and so this law forbids that. And the Lord made the people of Israel to be aware that he will not accept their offerings, because they were committing their sins, and then they have also, they thought that God doesn't care. And they will come and offer their gifts and say no, and obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah, Malachi, now all come ahead and say, Judah for Israel for no, oh no. Omo, a man in the Jaja, Omo, here, no more for far, a mouth of fro. No movie, so no more for year, ever, ever. No, Malachi, from Malachi, catch on set on. Now, who Paul said, on Jim, Omo, a for a bomb day, but if you say, Omo, for so years, I won't know your own children. No, so I danced me, the uncle so I danced before, more my one year, a bush out of shell, out of bush. So I will say, our sons of Kaya will say, if it is no Yaku Pombo or Ba or Omnia Babu. Now, the entire year, Sano, near a bob, a bit more banners or banner, Bema, a one Romeo Babu, a bit more banner of Mwati Aman. And so this, the laws are. Accusation against the Jews here. The Lord brings before them that they have sinned against the men. Some of the men have left their wives, and that they have become unfaithful to them. And then, but the Lord says that He is a witness to their marital vows which they had when they were in youth, and that they have broken it. And He even brought to their mind that. The purpose of verse 15, and did not He make one? Here is a reference to the Lord making a man and a woman, that God made only one woman for man, so that they ought to stay with their wives and not to break away from them. But if God wanted to make more than one woman for a man, He could have made more. So He said that, and did not He make one, yet had He the residue of the spirit. God had the means to really make more than one woman for man, so long as He made one woman, meaning that each one has to marry one and not to break away from her and also from him. So we find that infidelity, which falls under this, thou shalt not commit adultery, is part, is something that the Lord hates. But as we said, the law goes beyond just infidelity, it goes beyond that. The Lord will explain for us to see. But at least, as we say, the mother sin or the main, which we find is that of infidelity of between the married partners, either the man or the woman going after others beyond his or her partner. But the Lord hates it, as because the breaking of a vow, the breaking is something. So that when it happens, it's like. The promise, the person who does it like becomes like an unfaithful person. The Lord hates breaking of promises. Verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the Lord now extends the law, and that he further showed the extent of this law, that it includes unclean desires and thoughts, which lay hidden in the heart and in the mind. And these are part of adultery, you see. So, not only the infidelity where it happens in the marriage person, but here, every unclean desire and thoughts in the mind and in the heart is part of adultery. So that adultery extends to every form of sexual immorality, not merely in the married, but also in the unmarried. Because when it comes to this and other form of sexual moralities, they are all part of defilement which falls under adultery. So, that's the extent the Lord is bringing to our minds. The air can say, if I did choose to, the account of saying that, yes, someone and 2 hours, so, I'm saying that, Now we be around, or they need to show by no, I don't know when I come in. I find that. And now, when all this says, I dream a corner, and yeah, about your bema dream, and that's about a fat or banner bema. Ah, we are going to you, young people, a fan who said, to say, will be our 2 hours. It is our Emrana, it's still quite a mark in 2 hours. It sounds some renowned so far. A bravo announcer, a grinning announcer, Subiara. I said, if you agree with me, it sounds so a cancer and run. So, Sabia Nipano worry, so worry you, sir. Saturday, oh, more. It is said they will go our rear. It sounds so a idea, Tresser. I said, as we are tower, so. So, it should be another worry, but a good Nipa Mufi. That's a Jamaipo. So, this is how far the Lord brings to our mind concerning this law. But we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 to 5, we are taught that an aspect of marriage is to prevent fornication. You know, fornication is part of sexual morality. As we just read it to you, not that it's the only purpose, but an aspect. You share 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 to 5. I try and say, our rear, oh, my, it's let me read to you. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath no power of her own body by the husband, and likewise also the husband hath no power of his own body by his wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So we see that the purpose of marriage, an aspect of it, is to prevent fornication in the unmarried. And so this, those of us who are married, these are you know, believers, this must remind you that the Lord has made provision against fornication, because it's a human weakness, yet there's a provision for that. In the verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 9, we are told that it is better to marry than to bear. I mean, for those who are widows, they are young, it's better for them to marry than to bear. And so that fornication of sexual moralities can be avoided even in the state of the unmarried, because there's a provision where we can get married, and then so that we don't fall into all this kind of defilement. So that for one thing, that for the unmarried Christians, it's better to marry if you are of age. That's what this is telling us. And I'm sure we know that marriage means you have to make preparations and all that. But I'm sure that, but what we have to put as a standard is, if I'm able to work to provide for the necessities of life, then I should be able to marry. If I'm able to, I don't have a work, I cannot. God Bible says that if you are married, as a man, you have to be able to provide for your house. But it means that the necessities of life. You see, so that if I'm a young man and I can provide the necessities of life, then as a Christian, it's better to marry than to live a single life and to fall into sexual immorality. And the main kind of say, I tell you, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 to 5, Apostle Paul, church, saying, I really had a book on the my SBC, I got my born name, sir, who feed, boy, And now, verse 9 of chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, "A year so be warrior, so say, Ube she." So I went to say, I said, "I can't know Beshe also, ma, with the, of a body, So that it's better to marry than to burn. It's better to marry than to be burnt with passions or desires that are unclean. That's the meaning of the word. Na meka sɛ sɛhwɛ a sɛ woyɛ kristoni na sɛ wosisu no adu awareɛ mmerɛ no a ɔsɛ ɔware na ne korɛ wo mu nso sɛ well ansa ɔbɛware no ɔsɛ ɔho sɛ bi a wowɔ biribi a wobɛtumi nneɔma wohia a ɛbɛboa wɔ abrabɔ mu no wobɛtumi ɛnyɛ bi ɔde sɛ bi aduane ne saa abia wɔbɛtena ne saa nneɔma ne wobɛtumi ahwɛ wo ho sɛ wotumi yɛ adwuma na wotumi yɛ saa deɛ no nko adeɛ twensi wo kwan sɛ ɔsɛ ɔbɛware twensi wo kwan sɛ ɔsɛ ɔbɛware na sɛ wotumi ware na ka ɛsi kwan sɛ bi a ɛsɔhwɛ bɛtumi ato wo no a kabia wowareyɛ no na ɛde woakɔto adwamanbɔ anaasɛ adeɛ a abrabɔ a ɛgu nnipa ɛfofo. So your marriage, Christian, it's better to marry when we are of age than to continue and then temptations of sexual moralities will become dependent upon us. And why am I saying this? Because you know, the world idea that I mean trying to encourage young people, whether young men or women, that you have to achieve your aim before you marry. You see, it's a worldly idea. Achieve your aims in life before you think of marriage. No, the Christian doesn't think that way. Yes, you have aims in life, but those aims should not be a hindrance to marriage. Because you know this ungodly idea that we have to achieve or make, achieve your aims in life. It appeals to both young men and women these days. And you know, this often has led many to they have this cohabitation. Well, young man and woman, they live together without proper marriage. They don't care about marriage. And I've witnessed some young people, they've gone into relation, they were not married, they went to live with that maybe male partners. Even their parents want them to remain recognize them, but they don't care about it. They don't value marriage. They're happy they are living, you see. Because maybe they think marriage will try to restrict them or it will make them committed, but whatever. So that idea of cohabitation even is very appealing to young people in our time, because they free them from marriage and then they pursue whatever. I think in the Western world it's very common. I think they have so many laws even about cohabitation. You can choose not to marry but live with anyone and share responsibilities and then move on in life. But all these ideas are worldly. It's ideas that leads to adultery, fornication, and all sorts of sexual morality. So, well, this worldly idea is good for the worldly, but they don't care about purity and also breaking of God's law. So, the apostle, Abemu and Asa, Abayua, Awusiswa, we are Udua, Aria, Emra, Kwano. Kesa, over to me, be our Botaisu, and Uswa, but over to me, it's me and your son, Wawaria. See, we are saying, if we say, I'm a youth, I'm a So it is good for them. For them, it will motivate their life. But a believer must know better, because in all our life, the Lord must be honored. And even if it means that I should lose my worldly comfort, so long as it's a way of obedience, a believer must give himself to such a conduct. We must not be misled by worldly ideas of our life, even when it comes to marriage. But there are so many ideas. And sometimes in your own family members will try to influence you with so many ideas, your uncles, your auntie, your mother, your father. But ask yourself, I'm a Christian. Is he or she a Christian? Do they also value the Lord? That's the question, see? No, when it comes to marriage and others, our families, I mean extended family, they seem to get involved. But whatever advice they give, you have to ask yourself, are they Christians? You should know better. If I'm a Christian, I should know better. So that whatever idea they have or they try to advise me, if it contradicts the Lord's will, I throw them away. If whatever choice I make, if they are displeased, may the Lord, it please the Lord, happy. Because the Lord must be obeyed, and everybody, whatever happens to them, that's their business. The Lord must be obeyed. So what I'm talking about, the necessities of life, is general for all Christians, but I'm trying to limit it to maybe young people, because that's the of your marriage, because that's one of the things that I want to achieve so and so before I get married. In 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So that when the Lord provides us with these things, whatever things we ought to do, we have to do, and including marriage, if we will marry. There are people who will not marry, fine. Just last year, a friend of mine died. He's over 50, he never got married. He's dead and gone. Yes, he was able to keep himself. I knew him. Fine, if we will not marry, that's fine. But if we will marry, having food and raiment, let us be content there with and make provision for such a way of obedience. Because if it is the Lord's will to give us other things more than food and raiment, and the food and raiment covers the necessities of life, maybe where to stay, a dress, and able to keep to survive. That's what it means. Not yet the food and the raiment, but anything that's the necessities of life, basic necessities of life. If the Lord gives us anything more than this, if you want to give, He will give us. Whether we are married or not, the Lord will give us. You see? So that we shouldn't think that marriage will limit our ambition. Anyway, the Christians don't have any ambition except for the Lord. Therefore, so that if I'm working, if I'm able to go high in my education, if it's just for my personal glory, it's vanity. You see, if I'm doing that so that, well, I have a purpose, I want to do so and so, so that maybe I may have more opportunities so that I can even serve the Lord more, or maybe be able to even help others, maybe able to be useful in a way, that's fine. If the Lord permits, yes, we can do whatever. But merely wanted to advance in life for my personal whatever, it's not godly. So the Lord, if you will, He can give us everything. You know, we have Christians that are well, we have more than the basic necessities of life. Some also have only that. It doesn't matter what the Lord has given us. All that we need is to be faithful, because that we don't need to be unfaithful to Him to chase for other things and then disobey Him. We don't need to do that. Or to be faithful to Him, and if it is His will to add that, to ask other things which are in the world, it is His will to give us. But those things should then prevent us to obey Him. So that achieving your aims in life before marriage is a godless policy of life. I'm repeating it because it has become the common ideas of life among many young people. Even if he has a job, he has something to do. No, I want to go higher before they think of probably settling down in life. No. If you are able to, you have the necessities of life, and to avoid temptations before you fall into sexual morality, it is better for a Christian, a single married, it's better to marry. Because, you know, Satan, and we live in times where it's very common. Sexual moralities are all over. All over, I mean, everywhere, discussions and whatever. You find it, I'm sure those of us, those of you who are working in the office, the conversation about it is very common. They joke about it, and you have colleagues who are even trying to even feel so proud in it, you see. And it becomes like a common thing. But no, it isn't. To the Christian, that is not a common thing. It is something that's against the Lord. So the American said, yeah, coupon, not Sabia, or buy another money and worry, and that's what to me. So I'm very money going to me, not the intimidation of a car cry. I better say, don't worry, not the action of my feet, one in your mind, don't be a hoofing. Yet to me, I am soon to my dear. Since I ever cost so, you train them. Now, I go to verse 29, Matthew chapter 5. Verse 29 to 30. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body be cast into hell. So here the Lord also added another thing. How says that we need to be a patron. Now you feel a yes and said, who be to actually not be a washery, a soul, a be a person, yes and said, we need to be a yes. I bet you, we ought to deny ourselves of it. We have to deny ourselves of it, than keeping it and sinning by it, by which we'll be sent to hell where we lose all comfort. Because when we cut off whatever that we cherish so much, but it's a means of sin, and we lose the comfort, whatever the pleasures from it for a season in this world, we'll be free from falling into sin and thereby going to eternal hell. So this is a general saying to all that sin will lead to hell if it is not cut off from our lives. But the Lord is connecting this to, you know, adultery, which is trying to let us see. So this is added as a way to warn that if you do not deny yourself of the pleasures of sin, then you cannot escape eternal fire of hell. And you are there, this is what I want to go for. He said, "Would you make sure you free? Nija, when you free, when you want, then for some of you, would you make sure you free?" The hell here is Gehenna, which the term in this is, which is used to describe hellfire. It's not the hell like the pit or the grave. This is about eternal hell. But I'm sure we know, however, by Christ's atonement for sin, all whom he has saved are delivered from eternal hell. In himself, Jesus Christ will cast a money But one thing that is also sure is that all those he has saved do not persist in sinful habits. The can say, yes, Christos, or J, Yerfi Bonimoa, or Sanjim, or GFI, or Sanjim, Yerko, or Sanjim, so one more YJ, we are born in Washington. But if I put in a question, yeah, yes, Christos, why didn't you come here on Snap on this week? So you see, if we have been saved by the Lord, because yes, atoned for us, and yes, we will not be those who live in persistent sinful habits. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So you see, those of us that the Lord has saved by his grace, he also grant us grace to be able to overcome certain sins. So we see that true believers are always putting a fight against every nonsense. That's the picture. The church is like, Obi Oye Jedi Papa Bia or Christo Mono. And Bernie Abinia or Putia Mone. You see, it's not that when we ask that we cannot sin, but we do not continue in the life of sin. So the word here, shall we continue, has to be persistent in sin. A believer may sin because we still live in his body, but a believer ought not to persist in a sinful life. So that's the thing. I think last Saturday I met a young girl and I asked her, when the track says the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, so I asked her, will she go to heaven? She said, no. I asked her why. I said, well, because she's a sinner. I asked her, so those who go to heaven, are they sinners? She said, well, he said that all those who go to heaven have stopped sinning. So I tried to explain to her that that's not what it means. So that to be saved means you have been, Christ has died and taken the punishment for your sin. But then when he saves you, he gives you a new heart to be able to hate sin and fight against sin from the day he takes you from this world. But sin will never be out of your life. The Bible doesn't teach that when we are saved, sin will be out of our life. We will struggle with sin. Sometimes we will fall into sin. But then, so long as we have that fight and that we are ever, we don't want to live in the life of sin, and that is that it's in our heart, by the grace of God, it's an evidence that the Lord has saved us. Because before we are saved, well, sometimes sin is concerned about, we don't really care, but the believer is fighting every day against any nonsense he knows, and that he will not give himself over to a life of sin. So true believers are able to deny themselves of sin because of the help of the Spirit that endures us. You see, so that why a believer is able to fight against, because of the strength of the Spirit. You see, that's why Bible Apostle Paul taught us that we should not quench the Spirit. We should not quench the influences of the Spirit, because we should not resist his promptings and his our conscience, but he enlightens our conscience against the life of sin or any nonsense, we should not put it aside and continue on and on in it. You see, a believer may fall into that situation, but the Lord will come with a chastening rod if we are genuinely saved. The Lord will chastise us if we are genuinely saved. You see, but then we are given enough. We have the grace of Christ, the grace of God in our heart. The Holy Spirit is to help us. You know, every true believer knows how sin robs spiritual joy. Jedi Nibian Nimesuma, Mone, Etienne, so that we, every moment, we see it as a battleground to oppose every sin. Sin robs us of spiritual joy, any kind of sin, you see. And one of them, as we are talking about, sexual sins, which defiles the body. Time is gone. I'm not sure I can add any 31 to 62, but let me just add a few things and I'm done. So in the context of the matter with the Lord speaking about sexual immoralities, and how we ought to. Because other than 29 to 30 show us how we should see the occasions that lead us to all the things that lead us to, so that he by this verse 29 to 30, he reminds us that we must not trifle with unclean thoughts, desires, words, gestures, pictures, videos, anything that will cause us to sin. We should cut off from our life and the way they come to us. And also the company of immoral persons, you see. Especially such persons who do not frown on sexual moralities. You know, we may have colleagues at workplaces or whatever, but we should be careful. Because Satan is very cunning. If those around are so loose on these things, it will make us also, initially we may be okay, but with time it will weaken also our thoughts on these things. So, every immoral person, you see, somebody may be a friend of somebody who has who is into sexual moralities. And at least if such a person whether a believer or not, if a person is a believer, you shouldn't have any association with such a person who has low standards on morality, no. Any company, the person who doesn't frown on immoralities, we should not. They shouldn't be our friends, you see. Because when you are together, what are the things that you want to laugh about? You crack jokes about sin and you laugh. No. Such people shouldn't accompany us. We should cut them off. So there could be relations, there could be things, there could be which are, as about the Lord Jesus Christ, if thy right eye offends, if they are being so dear to us, you see, we should cut them off. We should deny ourselves of their company. And also surroundings where they promote sexual morality, such as those on social media, TV programs, and all over. Today we have many of them, and always I speak about this TikTok and issue, and people will be watching. There are so much morality there, which excites sexual things. The videos, and even the football they are going to play. Look at all the advert they do. It's all about all kind of promiscuity and all kind of things that are not healthy, you see, so that the Christian ought to cut off occasions that may lead into sin. So these are all the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to bring our minds to. We cannot add the divorce proper. We'll add it to the other verses next time. But these are the things the Lord wants to bring into our mind concerning adultery, that sexual moralities are all, and thou shalt not commit adultery. May the Lord help us as we think about these things.